Hi, so my name is Wes. As mentioned before, I'm an MPH student at Drexel University. I had the unique project among all the other projects in that I had to do it in two sites. You can see that I worked with Luana Holness. She and I worked in New York City, and we also worked with Ruchi Shah, who is a second-year medical student at Michigan State University, and her half of the project was based in Oakland. So, to give an introduction of the project, the Transport Workers Union was our host organization, and it was the TW Director of Health and Safety who really was behind the project, who created it from the beginning. Ed Watt and his team was basically who designed the entire project from beginning to end, and basically asked us to implement it. As I mentioned before, the project was involving two different locations, New York City's LaGuardia Airport, where I and Luana worked with Local 501, and Ruchi Shah got to work at Oakland with Local 555. So, a little background on fleet service clerks or baggage handlers. Part of their job description in that they have to do regularly lift items that are 70 pounds or heavier. Their job involves loading carts, lifting bags above their head, below their knees. In this picture, you can see this individual lifting above the shoulder level, increasing their risk of injury. And also, baggage handlers tend to work in a variety of environments. In this picture, you see them working in a cargo room, but they can sometimes be working on the tarmac, inside, outside, inside aircraft compartments, in narrow confined spaces, and a number of other locations. The last bullet point I wanted to mention was weather. Weather conditions can include hot and cold, humid, windy, rain and snow, and that sort of conditions that really make the job variable from day to day and from season to season. So, as a result, baggage handlers face significant ergonomic risks. They are lifting repetitively and frequently, and so that their muscles don't often have enough recovery time. They are also placed in the awkward body postures that strain their bodies, whether they're kneeling inside compartments or stooping over bags. And finally, behind this project, there is also an OSHA online e-tool that was created that poses some solutions to these hazards. So, objectives of this project were to identify ergonomic hazards that face airport fleet service clerks and to relate these to musculoskeletal injuries that FSCs have experienced. In this picture, we wanted to determine how much time workers spent in this crouched kneeling position and whether or not they've experienced like knee or lower back injuries. We also aim to identify workers' opinions and wanted to know, what tasks they felt were most dangerous and what changes they would like to see. And finally, we wanted to ascertain whether workers were exposed to the OSHA e-tool and how effectively they were trained at that. So, to do this, we created a 10-page questionnaire that was completed during a worker's break time. The interns accomplished this by personally administering the surveys in employee break rooms. As you can see, at Oakland, we got to survey 78 of 159 active workers, and over at LaGuardia, New York City, we surveyed 92 of 180 workers. It is worth noting that this wasn't a random sample. Basically, the people that got to answer were people that are willing and able to answer our 10-page survey. So, finally, we spent a good amount of time doing observations in the field before creating this questionnaire. We felt that understanding local terminology and conditions were critical to make this survey. So, demographics of people in the workplace. As you can see by the graph, that the majority of fleet service clerks were predominantly male. 96% of respondents were male in LaGuardia, and 89% were male in Oakland. The average age at both airports showed that LaGuardia was a more senior workforce compared to Oakland, with the average worker age of 46 years in LaGuardia versus 34 years in Oakland. Similarly, both airports are reporting about 48 hours worked per week, which includes overtime and change of shifts. So one of the purposes of our survey was to explore the amount of time that workers spent in hazardous postures. The y-axis displays the number of hours that a worker was observed to be working in, and the x-axis shows the types of postures. From left to right, how often workers are handling baggage above shoulder level, below the knee level, handling baggage from side to side in like a 45 degree angle twist, having to squat while handling baggage, kneeling, or while they're stooped. And when workers were unclear of what we were asking, the interns conducted like demonstrations. Like if someone wasn't clear on what kneeling was, we performed that action for them. So in this slide, you'll see the percentage of injuries reported by fleet service clerks within the last 365 days. An obvious difference is the reported injuries between Oakland and LaGuardia airports. You'll see 72% of Oakland workers reported lower back injuries, and only 59% reported injuries also at Oakland, whereas 33% of LaGuardia workers and 28% reported shoulder wrist injuries. And so we spoke with the union at the international level as to why we see these discrepancies between LaGuardia and Oakland. And their hypothesis was that since LaGuardia's workers were about 10 years older than Oakland's, they figured that, you know, the workers have 10 years more experience, and so they're more veteran, and so they're less likely to be injured because they've been injured in the past and they've learned from their mistakes. That'd be interesting to look into that further if someone could.
Can I just add one thing about that? Richie works out in Oakland, and when we went out and visited the Southwest folks, they had just implemented this kind of lean approach to really kind of minimize the number of workers on shift and maximize the amount of work they were doing. So I think that was potentially a part of it.
Okay. Also, in speaking with the union at the international level, they said that their data closely matched what we collected as well. So, as I mentioned before, we also wanted to do a quick survey on workers' opinions on different solutions that were possible. Some of these solutions listed on the left of the table include introducing better baggage handler training, improving staff scheduling to meet work demand, slowing the process down, especially when delays occur and when weather conditions aren't at their best, and improving quality of supervision. The last result slide in our analysis was about the OSHA e-tool. We mentioned that earlier in the presentation. At least 70% of Oakland and LaGuardia workforce reported that they had never even heard of the OSHA e-tool. And, you know, I didn't describe background about it, but the OSHA e-tool was designed to suggest administrative and engineering solutions to worker safety and health. Unfortunately, our study didn't evaluate workers' opinions or effectiveness of the e-tool, but we feel that it should be more advertised to workers. And so, comments from the fleet service clerks. Many of the workers commented that there was a significant amount of stress. I mean, workers often cited noises, and many hazards navigate around people driving around and hitting workers, for instance. High work demand. 10 years ago, the job was done by 9 workers to load and offload planes. But now, you know, these days, within the last 3 years ago, they've been doing massive layoffs in the industry. And so the job used to require 9 people. They've cut it down to 3. So the workers that remain are doing like 3 times the amount of work. Muscle fatigue, as above, understaffing means greater number of repetitive motions that individuals have to do, leading to higher rates of muscle fatigue. And variable working conditions, you know, I mentioned earlier, like weather, for instance. When there's bad weather, no planes are landing, which causes delays, which means lots of sitting around. And then when the weather finally clears up, all of a sudden there's plenty of work to do. So challenges, Luana and I had trouble accessing workers because we were constantly blocked by the company who felt like we would uncover things that would threaten the company. Another challenge was dealing with multiple stakeholders. It was difficult to encompass all the hazards into one survey. Union wanted stuff, the local union wanted stuff, the workers wanted stuff, you know. And finally, collecting data was also a challenge. Many workers said that they didn't feel like their participation would change anything in the field. And many also complained that 10 pages was a significant barrier as far as, you know, time to complete. So, successes of the project. We were happy to report that stakeholders and interns together hammered out a survey that everyone agreed to and really liked. And we also felt like workers share their stories while taking surveys, and were generally pretty enthusiastic about explaining their day-to-day experiences. And from my end, I feel like, first and foremost, this project was a great experience and introduction to occupational health and safety. Interns like Luana and I, we got to experience firsthand the uncertainty of schedules, overcoming barriers to access, and understanding one's role within the politics of unions and management. And at the bottom, I was talking about politics. We got to witness the union lobby on our behalf for interns to get access to the workers day in and day out. And their efforts helped in large part to make this project happen. Givebacks. The New York interns, we created an educational poster that provided a long list of recommendations to improve worker safety and health. Over in Oakland, Ruchi created a pamphlet summarizing our results. And finally, we submitted an OHIP report to both unions that basically detail our findings. So last but not least, recommendations. As I mentioned, we created a very long list of recommendations to improve worker safety and health, but I've only taken four out of that list to talk about. Workers commonly reported that they felt that management placed the burden of safety and health on the employees themselves. And we felt that increasing surveillance, reporting, and participation by both management and employees would be warranted. We also felt stronger enforcement of baggage weight limits would do a great deal. We often found agents at the check-in terminal were accepting bags that should have gone to cargo freight that was, you know, in excess of 100 pounds, which posed significant risks, you know, extreme hazards and that sort. And finally, second to last, we wanted to see baggage clearly labeled. Bags that are greater than 51 pounds but below 100 pounds are just marked heavy. And so a worker might not be properly preparing to lift something that's 51 pounds versus 96 pounds. And finally, we wanted to advertise the OSHA e-tool because it was designed for the purpose of educating workers to, you know, to do exercises, to prepare themselves. And so we recommend greater attention be brought to the e-tool, as the majority of workers at both unions indicated that they've never even heard of it. So acknowledgments, I'd like to thank the OHIP folks, NIOSH for funding our internship, AOEC, the TW, both local and the international level, and Arth Patel for helping us out with the statistics.